Well, depending on what type of student you were back in school, the most exciting day of the 6 weeks or 9 weeks or however it was grouped, or the scariest day of the 6 weeks was report card day. Report card day was when you see how you did for that particular time frame. Well, today we're going to talk about commendation and concern. You remember last year I did a sermon on this, commendation and concern. This was something that was encouraged by one of our instructors in preaching school, Brother Mosier. He said that every congregation he ever went to, at the end of the year, he did a sermon on commending the congregation on things that they had done well that year, and also giving a little bit of concern for some things that perhaps they needed to work on, or some things that worried him that perhaps were not quite where they needed to be. And we mentioned last year, 2017, around this time of year, that I had a lot of commendation and I didn't have much concern yet because I had only been here for a short period because that was my first 6 months working with you. Well, now I've been with you for a year and 6 months and I got a lot more concern. No, I'm just kidding. I really don't have a whole lot of concerns that you're going to notice today. I've got a lot of commendation. There will be a few concerns that we need to notice, but we just want to understand that as we reflect on how 2018 went this year, we reflect on how things are going now and how they will be going into 2019. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can as individual Christians to help this congregation grow, to help this congregation be what it needs to be a beacon of light for this community. And so I want you to consider these things that I've prepared to say this morning, and I hope that you'll consider them with the right heart, a heart that is striving for improvement, not only for yourself, but also for all of the brethren here, and also improvement of this community, in that we will take the gospel to this community that so desperately needs it. I have taken a look at what I preached last year concerning this subject, and I actually want to show you a little bit of that briefly. I've got the old PowerPoint from last year, commendation and concern. And very briefly, I want to show you what we talked about last year, and I want you to consider, have we improved in those areas? Have we regressed? Let's just notice that I mentioned last year we had lots of activity. I mentioned the work day. I believe we had 2 work days last year. Door knocking. We had helping a needy family, which we were able also to help that needy family this year around Christmas time. We also helped another family or two this year, and so I'm thankful for that opportunity. We had the congregation make gift baskets for the needy of the area as well, and most of those have been handed out. There are a few left, and we may need to make a few more soon. We worked on visitation and trying to visit and fellowship with one another last year. And then, of course, we started our radio station, which was actually at the very end of last year, if you remember. And this is our very first full year of operating the radio station. I hope that you found this radio station to be beneficial. There's so much good content on our radio station, FM 102.5. You need to be listening to it. Anytime you're in the car, even in your house, listen to this programming and it will help you very much. I mentioned a concern last year of complacency. What if we had gotten comfortable with everything that we accomplished that year, so much so that we said, okay, well, we've done enough. You see, you never truly can do enough. There's always more to be done. There's always more souls that need to be reached with the gospel. And so we must not have this mindset of feeling like we've done enough. Joshua 13, verse 1, I mentioned how Joshua was old and well stricken in years, but he still had lots of land to conquer. And so we need to understand that we can never retire as a Christian. We must continue to do our part as Christians. I made another commendation about having a good, positive attitude overall as a congregation. We're not caught up in complaints or defeatism where, oh, nothing's going to work, woe is me. I don't believe that we had that mindset, and I don't believe we have that mindset today as well. We've, for the most part, got good attitudes, attitudes of love, good work ethic, optimism, and a mindset of wanting to grow. And so we need to continue having that going forward. I did mention, though, that a concern of mine was that we're not immune to an occasional bad attitude. Sometimes a bad attitude will crop up, and these kind of things need to be dealt with promptly. If I have a bad attitude, I need to deal with it promptly. And the same goes for all of us, because we don't need to dwell on negative attitudes or arguing and bickering and things of this nature. I also mentioned that we had many active members last year, many faithful members in attendance, support of the congregation's activities, keeping in touch with one another outside of the worship services. I mentioned the young people, the future of the church. I mentioned those who are young adults and middle-aged who are really able to do a lot of work for the church. And certainly all of these apply to the various age groups, but particularly the ones that I've talked about. And then the older members, the ones who are wise and experienced and insightful, who have been members of this congregation for many, many years and can certainly contribute a lot of good wisdom to this congregation. I also mentioned a concern that we had some who were not as active as we would like. And that is just the nature of the beast. That's just how things go. There's always going to be in a congregation some who are not as active as you would like them to be. But we need to always strive to be as active as we possibly can be. Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. James 1:22, being doers of the word, not just hearers only. And so we need to be active in the cause of Christ. And then finally, I mentioned another commendation, a focus on pleasing God and helping others. John 4:24, God is a spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I believe that we have a strong desire to do that here. Our congregation wants to help people. Galatians 6:10, we're told that we need to help people. Those who are of our own number, especially the household of faith. And then the congregation wants to relate to others well and save them. 1 Corinthians 9:22, look at what Paul wrote about wanting to be like others and getting to know people so that he could save them. But I also mentioned this concern that we need to constantly guard ourselves from being inwardly focused. We need to understand that it's not about pleasing ourselves, it's about pleasing God. And we need to seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, so that we can be pleasing to God. So those were some of the things that we mentioned last year. Now, this year, I've got several more that I want us to consider, and I want us to begin by looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I have a few verses for us to consider this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 1, Paul wrote, "But be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now, I hope that you can say that of me. I certainly try to be an example to the congregation. I'm not perfect. I mess up, and I admit that. But I try to be an example to this congregation, and I hope you could say that this verse would apply to me. And I hope that you could say that this verse would apply to yourself as well. We need to be examples that God needs us to be to everyone in this congregation and to everyone that we come into contact with in our daily lives. Be followers of me, Paul says, as I, Paul, am of Christ. If we're going to follow Paul's example, then ultimately we're following Christ's example. Now, in verse 2, Paul says, "I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." Paul praises them in this regard. Paul is thankful for the church at Corinth. Now, you read through the book of 1 Corinthians and you realize this congregation had a lot of problems. But Paul was still able to find this thing to praise about them. He was certainly thankful for them and he wanted them to improve. He wanted them to repent of those problem areas. But I want you to notice in verse 17 and verse 22 that there were things that Paul could not praise this congregation for. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17. Now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. They were coming together for the worship services, and they were making it a big feast, a big meal. And some people were getting completely full, so much so that they were really gluttonous. And then you've got others who were doing without, who perhaps were needy and couldn't really bring much. And then people were saying, oh, you can't have any of that. That's our food. We brought that. And so you had a lot of selfishness going on. You had a misapplied worship atmosphere. They were thinking about themselves, inwardly focused, rather than worshiping God. And so they were abusing the worship services. And Paul says, I praise you not. Look at verse 22. What, have ye not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? And shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. And so we understand that in this idea of commendation and concern, that there's this idea of praise, and there's this idea of not praising. So we need to understand that when we look at these things, that we need to realize I'm pointing these things out in the spirit of love and in the spirit of improvement. Again, I don't have a whole lot that you're going to notice that is in the area of concern, but there will be some in the area of concern. And we need to understand that just as Paul said, I praise you, I praise you not. We need to have that same mindset when we notice these things. I want us to think about a end of the year recap for 2018. It's been a busy year. 2018 has been, as I said earlier, the first full year of our radio station operation. And a whole lot of work went into getting this radio station. Just ask Brother Bill. Ask Brother Bill what all he had to do with getting certifications and paperwork and all this planning that went into and money that went into this radio station. It was a serious investment for this congregation. And our eldership did not take it lightly. They tossed and turned over this decision sometimes. And is this going to be a good investment? Is this what we need to do? And we spent a lot of time preparing for this radio station. There were a period of years that we prepared in thinking about whether or not we were going to have this radio station, and everything fell into place for us to have this. And I can tell you this, I think that now they would say that was a worthy investment of time, of resources, of money, because there's so much good material that we are sharing with this community through that radio station. And on our website, you can access this radio station any time of day as long as you've got an internet connection. And so it's certainly a wonderful thing. Brother Jared and I have both spent a lot of time programming the radio station. And Brother Jared, every week, does things to make sure that radio station is up to date. And I also will go in every week and add my sermons to it. I've also spent some time putting together short 3 to 5 minute materials as well, lessons called Something to Think About. And certainly you've probably heard these if you've been listening. Brother Jared's been doing a weekly update for us about the concerns of the congregation and prayer requests and sermon recaps. These are certainly wonderful things, and I hope that you appreciate all the work that's going into our radio station. This thing is something that can really be a wonderful tool to help us spread the gospel in this area, and I hope that you'll take advantage of it. 2018, also, we were able to have our bulletin brought back, and I hope that you are reading those articles and appreciating the articles that are in the bulletin and realize the time that goes into that as well, and appreciate the elders for helping in regard to the bulletin as well, overseeing that and constantly helping with the editing process of that. There's a lot of things that go into the bulletin as well. And we're thankful that after 2 or 3 years of not having one, we're able to have one again. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The bulletin, the radio station, these kinds of things are just another tool in your toolbox to help you in your studies. I want us to think about 2018 by the numbers for a moment. I'm definitely a numbers guy. I like to look at the numbers because the numbers don't lie. Now, sometimes you can manipulate things to make things appear so, but the numbers themselves don't lie. And I want us to think about some numbers for a moment. There's a lot of good news when we look at the numbers I'm about to bring out for us this morning. I was able to conduct 8 Bible studies this year. And I know that there were some others who conducted Bible studies this year too. I've noticed there are people that meet in that annex building over there. They bring their Bibles and they study. 8 plus, I don't know exactly how many other Bible studies have taken place this year, but 8 plus Bible studies, formal Bible studies where we gather around a table, we dig into God's Word, and we show people the truth of God's Word. That's how we can grow as a congregation. That's how we can take the gospel to those who need it. By my count, there were 6 baptisms associated with this congregation this year. Both people who are now members of this congregation or people who were reached out to by members of this congregation. And one precious soul was converted and went on to her reward this year. Also, we will readily admit that there were some baptisms that sadly immediately fell away. That's the truth of the matter, the situation. But we need to understand that Jesus told us that was going to be the case. You look at the parable of the sower, and that is exactly what the parable of the sower teaches, Matthew chapter 13. But we can be very excited about 6 baptisms. Imagine if we had 6 baptisms next year or more. And then the year after that, 6 or more baptisms. Do you think that we would grow? Absolutely. And so we need to be mindful of this. We need to understand that we have the power of God's Word. We have the power to grow, but we have to get to work. We have to use God's Word. We have to use the power of the gospel in order for it to take effect. We also had 3 restorations this year. I'm so thankful for that. And sadly, we had 5 funerals for members of this congregation or people who had been members of this congregation or associated with this congregation this year. I'm so thankful for every one of those souls. And we miss those souls. But we're thankful for the ones who were faithful Christians who we can see again one day. I want us to consider further in thinking about the numbers this year. I made a couple of graphs, and I like graphs. They help me visualize things. They help me see trends, and I think they're important. But sometimes they come as a little bit of a shock. I want you to look at these. I hope you can see them. You may not be able to see them. If you want to see them later, if you're in the back and can't see them very clearly, I'll be glad to show them to you. But I want you to look at this. This is graphs on our attendance. What is the first thing that jumps out to you? If for those who can see that, what is the first thing that jumps out to you about that? Up and down, up and down, up and down, right? I don't think there's a single week that there may be maybe 1 or 2, but very few who we actually see either a steady attendance or a continuous upward trend. It's always up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Now, I'm preaching to a congregation who has several people who are sick today. So I understand that. I also understand that we go out of town, we have to work, and things of that nature. I understand that there are those who are chronically ill, and so they never know whether or not they're going to be able to be here. I understand that completely. But I also understand that there are some who are up, down, up, down, up, down in their attendance. And there's not a chronic illness. There's not a situation of not knowing whether or not they can be here any particular day. And so this in itself can improve if those who are up and down in their attendance, even though they don't have to be, would improve in this area. The yellow line is our Sunday total attendance. The green line is our Wednesday night attendance, and the orange line is our Sunday morning Bible class attendance. Those were the three things that I looked at in this graph. You'll see, obviously, that our Sunday total attendance is the biggest number. You'll see that the Wednesday night, the green, and the orange Bible study for Sunday morning are pretty close to one another. I have a kind of an idea in my mind that we've got a core group of people who are usually here, if they can be, on Sunday morning Bible class and Wednesday night. And then we've got some fluctuation. Now again, understanding that there are those who have legitimate reasons they cannot be here because of health or because of work, and of course we all go out of town occasionally, understanding that you're going to have some fluctuation because of that, I still have to wonder, would it really be this much fluctuation? I don't think so. It does not seem that the fluctuation should be as much as it is. And so that's something that we can work on, something that we can improve. Our average Sunday morning attendance, or Sunday total attendance, is 51.4. So right around 50 is our average attendance. Our low was 33. It's quite a bit of fluctuation. Our max attendance was 80. That was when Brother Brad Harib was here. And he brought a few people with him, and we also had several visitors that day. That's 80. That's a wonderful number. And we don't need to get, I get it, we don't need to get caught up in the numbers per se. But numbers do kind of show us something that's important. And so at the same time, we do need to think about these things. The green line, Wednesday night. Our highest attended Wednesday night was during our gospel meeting with Brother Tommy Hicks. We had 47 for that particular Wednesday night. Our average is 32.6. Our low was 25. Orange line, Sunday morning Bible class, pretty similar. Our highest attended Bible class for Sunday morning was during Brad Harib, 50 people that day. Our average, 31. And our low was 21. And so there's lots of fluctuation. We need to think about that. Am I, as a member, here whenever the doors are open? If I'm not, and it's not a situation where it's beyond my control, then I need to do better. There's one more thing I want us to notice with these graphs, and that is trend lines. And these are even smaller. So if you can't see them, I apologize. I might want to try to figure out if there's a way I can make this bigger next time. But if you can see them, the yellow line is trending upward. That means that we're moving in an upward direction. It's growing. And I'm thankful for that. It's going from about 50 to about 53, 54. So we're trending upward slightly on our Sunday total attendance. But if you look at some of the other ones, a Bible class is also trending upward from about 28, 29 to about 32 or so. That's good, trending upward. But why do we have Wednesday night trending downward? Trending downward from about 34, 35 to about 30. These are things for us to consider. And if it's the case that I'm the one causing, in part, some of that, then I need to consider my life and try to do better. So I want us to consider those graphs for a moment, and then I want us to consider some of the other concerns and commendations that we have this morning. Commendation. I want to thank those of us who are faithful in our attendance. We've got many members who can be counted on. These members are going to be here. Unless something is seriously wrong with their health, or if they're out of town, working, or what have you, things beyond their control, unless those kind of things come up, which they do, they're going to be here because they care about the work of the Lord's church. They're seeking first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33, and so they will be here. It's number one on their calendar. I'm so thankful that we have many who obviously take this seriously. Hebrews 10:25, again, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Who are the some? And regarding this congregation, who are the some? Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Who are the some? Is that you? Are you one of the ones who is forsaking the assembling of the saints? Because when I read Hebrews 10:25, I need to be looking at it that way. Am I one of the ones who's not forsaking? Or am I one of the some who is forsaking the assembling of the saints, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching? We need to be here not only to praise and worship God, which is so important. It's the central time of our week as Christians. So important. But not only are we here to do that, we're also here to encourage one another. And I don't know about you, but one of the most discouraging things is when I see people who I know should be here, but they're not. And so we need to understand that going forward, and we need to grow in this area if it be the case that we are not attending faithfully. So, just as attendance is a commendation for many of us, it's also a concern for some of us. It's very discouraging when we know that there are people who could be here, but they're not. And quite frankly, it's hurting the work of the church. It's hurting the work of the congregation. Because you see, if somebody is not faithful in their attendance, it's a symptom of a much bigger problem. Not only are they not going to be faithful in attendance, they're not going to be faithful in knowing their Bible and living by what they read about in their Bible. They're not going to be talking to people. They're not going to be setting a good example for those around them. And so when somebody hears that they attend this congregation, and then they're like, oh, you go to church? You see, because not attending faithfully a lot of times is a symptom of the fact that somebody's completely misplaced their focus and they're not living as a faithful Christian. Matthew 6:33, they're not seeking first the kingdom of God. And so we need to consider this if this be our situation. I showed you those graphs, and one of the things that I also noticed in those graphs is something called a standard deviation. What is a standard deviation? That's one of those math terms that some of us are like, oh no, we're back in school. But a standard deviation is a fancy name that simply means this. It's the average number of fluctuation, basically. So you've got your average attendance, and then you see how the attendance was up and down like this. Well, the standard deviation is measuring how much of that up and down we have. I'll tell you this, our standard deviation for Sunday total attendance is over 8 people. So any given Sunday, we're liable to be up 8 or down 8 people. Now, when you think about that, well, 8, is that really a big number? Well, when you consider how important a soul is, you consider how that one soul is worth more than the whole world, then 8 is 8 times that amount. And so 8 people being gone from the Lord's church on any particular Sunday, understanding that a few of those are going to be because they can't help it, and we understand that. But probably a few of those others or because people are forsaking the assembly. That's not good. And so we need to understand that God expects more from us if it is truly the case that we're not attending faithfully. There were other standard deviations. If I can access my note here, our standard deviation for Bible class is 4.9. So any given Sunday morning Bible class, we are up or down by about 5 souls. Now, when you're depending on those souls to be contributors to the conversation in Bible class, and you're encouraged by that, and then they're not there any particular Sunday, it hurts. It hurts the work of the church. Wednesday night is very similar, 4.8, so about 5 people up and down every Wednesday. Again, understanding that a few of those are going to be beyond their control, but also some, it is within their control. So that is the first commendation and concern for us to consider. I know I spent a lot of time on that, but that's something we need to understand and focus on. What about another commendation? Supporting the gospel in not only this nation, but also abroad. This congregation has supported, that I'm aware of, and maybe even some other support, whether congregationally or individual supporting things. We've supported 3 very important mission works this year. Just as Jesus was about to ascend into heaven, He left us with these words: "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." Matthew 28:19-20. Members of the Beacon Church of Christ have contributed and have done their part to reach the nations. I'm thinking of 3 particular nations that we're reaching, perhaps even more. We're reaching our nation with the radio station and our local ministry. We're also reaching it by contributing to Brother Brad Harab's work in combating evolution and humanism, and the idea that people are wanting to take God out of society. We're supporting him and those who work with him to combat that in this country and also in other countries. We're also supporting India and Panama. When Brad Harab does his part to combat the things that he's combating, we had a hand in that. When Ronnie Goodham and his family are reaching millions of people in India with the work that they're doing over there, we had a hand in that. When Marlon Ratana, next Sunday, Lord willing, starts a brand new congregation in Las Villas, Panama, starting a congregation from the ground up, we had a part in that. And so I'm so thankful that we have the vision of supporting the gospel. My concern is we still need to evangelize more and more. We can never do enough, as I mentioned. We need to evangelize this community more and more. As I said, the radio station is doing a wonderful job of helping us with that. But we can't just leave it at that. We've got to be talking to people about the Bible. We've got to sit down and have Bible studies with people. There's so much more that can constantly be done. We need to find people who are interested in studying the Bible. Colossians 4:3, Paul spoke of the need to pray that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ. We mentioned in Bible class this morning, if the Apostle Paul needed the disciples to pray for him for opportunities to evangelize, then how much more do we need to be praying for the opportunity to evangelize? I prayed early last year, please help me to have Bible studies. I had more Bible studies this year than I've ever thought I could even have. here's what I need. I need every member of this congregation. Lord, please help me to have Bible studies. And then you need to be prepared to follow through, because He's going to send them to you. You need to be looking for those opportunities. When you're having congregations with conversations with co-workers, you're talking to people about, you see what's going on in society today, and it's just terrible, and people are so immoral. And then the conversation turns to church, and then you start talking about the church. What do you think about all the different churches today? What do you think about that compared to what we read in Matthew 16, 18, which Jesus said He would build His church, one church, singular? What do you think about that? We need to be looking for opportunities in our conversations to think about these things, and then we say, hey, would you like to study this with me sometime? I've got a preacher who would love to come study with us. And if that's all you do and you don't say a word in the Bible study, I'll be thrilled to death, because I will come and I will help you to do that. When I went to preaching school, and particularly when I went to my first Polishing the Pulpit, which is basically a real fancy lectureship with a whole bunch of lessons you can go to. When I went to my first Polishing the Pulpit, I went to a class on evangelism, because I realized that I was not evangelizing, and that bothered me greatly. And this brother by the name of Rob Whitaker was very instrumental in encouraging us to understand that we can have Bible studies with people. He pointed out that when the church was growing in the 50s and 60s, people were having Bible studies. And somehow along the way that stopped. But he's encouraging people all across this country to have Bible studies again. And you know what? People are obeying the gospel. People are leaving their denominations. They're obeying the gospel. They are becoming members of the New Testament church. If that's not evidence of the power of the gospel that we believe, then I don't know what is. And so I need everybody in here to be praying for Bible studies. But you need to be looking for those opportunities and conversations, and you need to follow through. And then you need to keep me so busy that I can't keep up, because I'm willing to do it. But we've got to work hard in order to do so. Another commendation that I have for this congregation is the unity of the congregation. You may remember that the very first sermon I preached this year, if you can remember back that far, one spirit, one mind, striving together for the work of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, the verse that Jordy read for us this morning, only let your conversation, your lifestyle, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I believe that this congregation has embodied that verse this year. I preached that passage that very first Sunday. I believed and was optimistic that it was going to be so. But looking back throughout this year, I really believe that it has been so. I believe that we do have, for the most part, one spirit and one mind, and we're striving together. We're all going in the same direction, under the leadership of two elders who are overseeing this flock. I believe that we're headed in the same direction with the same goal. But we have to keep that mindset. We have to understand that God will bless our efforts in the gospel. We have to be unified under that goal of spreading the gospel. We would not have had the successes that we have had this year without embodying the idea of that verse in Philippians 1:27. But that leads me to this concern, and this is where we'll conclude for this morning. We have to keep the momentum going. We can't be satisfied with the progress that we've made. We have to keep going. I'm not satisfied with 6 Bible studies. I'm not. I want more. and I hope that you want more. You see, sometimes if we're not careful, we can have the mindset of one step forward and two steps back. It needs to be three steps forward, zero steps back. Continually moving forward in progress of the gospel of Christ. Being that example, that beacon of light for this community that God needs us to be so that His kingdom can grow. We need to keep growing in knowledge. We need to grow in spirit. We need to grow in love. We need to grow in duty. And we need to grow in unity. I believe we'll grow in number. In time, we'll grow. But it takes all of those things in order to do so. We need everybody on board. We need to be committed for the cause of Christ, committed to this congregation. And that's where it comes in, that symptom of the larger problem, the attendance issue. That's where that comes in. And if I am displaying that symptom in my life, then what I need to do is I need to recommit. I need to recommit to the one who I love and who saved me, Christ, and I need to recommit to the congregation as well. 2018 was a great year in many ways. I believe we accomplished a lot. I want to make 2019 even better. 2018 was a wonderful year. Let's make 2019 where we get over the hump and we start growing again. This congregation starts growing. We start filling these pews again with people who love God and love His Word and want to be pleasing to Him, want to worship Him in spirit and in truth. People who are lost, who come here and find out what they need to do to be saved. And then we convert those people. And then we do whatever we can to keep them faithful. Because that's so much part of what we need to do as well. Think about these things this morning. I love sermons this time of year because I like to challenge people. I like to give us the mindset that we can do things. We can grow as Christians. We can be faithful. We can have Bible studies with people. We can convert the lost. But it's going to take all of us understanding that we can and then going about and doing it. So think about that this morning. If you're not a member of the church, please understand what you're missing. Understand that you're missing the love of God as He intended it. You're missing the fellowship and camaraderie that we have in Christ. You're missing all the blessings, the spiritual blessings that we have in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 1, verse 3. You're missing salvation. And so in order to correct that, you need to respond in obedience to the gospel that God has given us in His Word. Having heard what you need to do, Romans 10:17. Having heard that, it produces faith. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If you have faith, you'll read James chapter 2 and you'll understand that it doesn't end there. Faith without works is dead, James says. And so you must understand that you also have to do something with your life. You must repent of your sins. Acts 2, verse 38, those devout men there were told to repent and be baptized. You also must be willing to confess. Romans 10:9-10. You must be willing to be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins. To wash your sins away, Acts 22:16. Realizing that according to 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. How's your conscience this morning? Is your conscience telling you, because you've developed your conscience through God's Word? Is your conscience telling you that you need to do something? Is your conscience telling you that you need to obey the gospel? You need to lay it all on the line and become a servant of Christ? If it is, you need to respond to it. That conscience ain't going to make you obey. That conscience is just telling you what you need to do. Think about that this morning if you need to respond. If you want to be a more faithful Christian because you've got sin in your life and perhaps it's of a public nature and you realize that and you want to make it known to this congregation that you're repenting of those things and asking for forgiveness, then please do so. Think about your life, and if you need to respond, please do so as together we stand and sing.